and have your seats. Let's open our Bibles, Matthew chapter 21. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Amen. Good to see each one of you here. Good to see Sister Vanessa. Just want to kind of put a little prayer request in. Let's remember the Steve and Laura Martin family. They lost one of their sons, passed away. So just remember that family. I know they've been hit hard several times. So just remember them in our prayers. Amen. Begin reading here in Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 9. And when he drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I also want to read this same portion of what happened there from Luke chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 29. It came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Just my hearts to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you for these words, Lord, that you've so abundantly given to us, and we pray, God, that you would allow us this morning by your Holy Spirit just to look into these things that you would have us to know. We pray, God, that each one would be in their walk, would be strengthened, enriched, Lord, drawn closer to you, and may revelation through your word just abound in their hearts. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to title this today, Rejoice, Ye Daughter of Zion. Amen. Everybody knows that we want to get into cycle. I was back there back there listening while we were singing it, and just come to mind, you know, we want to get in the cycle with God's Word. And what come to mind was, you've probably seen these all years ago, these loggers that they had those great big long saws, and there'd be one guy on one side and one guy on the other. And, you know, they even have competition nowadays with those things. But, you know, the concept of that saw is one guy's pulling, the other guy can't be. Right? But when he's finished, then they're back and forth, and that's a cycle. And, of course, if you're pushing while the other guy's trying to, you know, if you're the opposite of each other, then you're fighting one another. You know, God's Word moves in cycles, and we're in a cycle of rapture now. Amen? And so we want to find our place and get in cycle. Don't work against God, right? Don't work against the grace of God. Let the grace of God work in your life. And so he certainly will get you out of the spot that you're in if you're in a bad spot. Amen? That's his business. That's what he came to do. And so we certainly want to be in cycle with God's Word. And so glad that Mercy said no. Right? I enjoyed our songs, and I enjoyed each talent. So I'm so glad that Mercy said no and said, I'm not going to let you go, not let you slip away. Amen. Believe that this morning.
Amen.
So rejoice, you daughter of Zion. You know, this scripture we read here was what we call now today, Palm Sunday, which is today, right? Today, just right. a week before Easter. And then on Palm Sunday is where all the people and his disciples begin to recognize, and they begin to celebrate him as king, right? And so there in the scriptures, we read there in Matthew, and also in Luke there, read there that they were to rejoice and to not fear and so forth. And so on this Palm Sunday, when they begin to recognize him as king, they begin to make him as king. You know, the scriptures, all the time through the Old Testament, you'd see where they would go, and when somebody would become king, the people would take them, and they'd shout, and there'd be a ceremony, and they'd come forth just rejoicing in their new king, right? And so, but the thing I want you to remember there, and you might probably get tired of me saying these things so much, but to me, it's very important. It's very important that we understand, and I pray the Lord help me get today, get out to you what it is I want you to see out of this today. And so it's very important that we understand that Jesus does not make himself king. We make him king.
Right?
You always see that pattern of scriptures. The people would recognize, and the people would lift up, and the people would begin to rejoice and say, this is our king. And so they do that because they would, you know, for whatever reason. But for us, we would see that and make him king because if we see what he is.
Right?
Maybe they would say, this is our new king because he's the son of the king that just passed or whatever. But the concept is there that Jesus does not exalt himself. He did not make himself king. The people do that. And we're the ones that crown him as king at the end of the ages.
Right?
And so that's a pattern for us to pay attention to and remember. No self-exaltation in Jesus. He didn't try to exalt himself. The scripture said he was quiet and, you know, he didn't lift his voice up in the streets and so forth. And so, you know, in God's program, I just, you know, I know the scriptures talk about, you know, maybe he lifted up his voice and, with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. I don't believe he did that because it took a loud voice to get to Lazarus where he was at. I think he did that so the people could hear it, understand, see? And he doesn't have to shout to say, resurrect. Right? You see what I'm saying? And so he didn't have to be all demonstrative or whatever. He was just who he was. He had the goods. Right? And so we understand that. So no self-exaltation, no politics. Jesus did not come and try to, you know, politically get the people to accept him. He didn't try, if you'll vote for me, I'll do this, when he's really going to do something different or whatever. Wasn't no politics in him. Wasn't no hidden agendas. What you see is what you get. He was just outright, just plain, just telling everybody and just being what he is. And so God, knowing that the children of God can recognize that and will come to it, right? Will recognize him as king. And so now compare what I'm talking about to Lucifer. Compare that to what Satan did, who exalted himself to try and become like the Most High. And compare that to this world today, to everything. You got to be ambitious. You got to go and you just got to take it. Right? And the whole world thrives off of this nature, contrary to the nature of God, this nature of exalting self and going and just laying hold on things and conquering people and conquering the world. That's what all these armies and all these different wars do. It's groups of people go out and just conquer others and all the pain and sorrow. See, it ought not be in the kingdom of God. It ought not be, right? It shouldn't. But because of the fall, and you understand those things are there.
Right.
And so we see here the day we're coming and beginning to rejoice and beginning to proclaim him as king. Of course, the Pharisees had a problem with that, right? The Pharisees acted like, oh, you know, nobody could make themselves like God. But really what they were offended in was because he was a threat to their religion.
Right.
And what their control over the people. So they had a problem with him. And so this here we read was Palm Sunday where they began to do that. And there was prophecy in the scriptures there in Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9 that we begin to tell about this. Rejoice ye daughters of Zion, for your king cometh to you. And here's what it actually says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. That was Old Testament. That was a prophecy.
Right.
And of course, here when we read in Matthew, we read in Luke, and we didn't read it in John, but it's there. I'll read it here in just a moment. They all are speaking about this event happening on Palm Sunday, which was the fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9 that we just read.
Right.
Right? Rejoice, daughter of Jerusalem. Your king comes to you, riding upon this ass, the colt, the foal, and ass. And so, in Matthew, I have to look at these to keep them straight here. So in Matthew, he said, tell the daughters of Jerusalem. And in Zechariah, he said, greatly rejoice. And in John, he says this, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king is coming, sitting upon an ass. And so, it was described in scriptures many different ways. Tell the daughters of Jerusalem, greatly rejoice, fear not, because your king cometh to you on this, riding this ass, this colt, the foal of an ass. And so I was thinking about that as meditating on this, and of all the ways that God could come and proclaim himself, you know, to present himself as the king, not to proclaim it, but to present himself there and become king to the people. Of all the ways that he could come, he chose to come this way. He chose to come in humility and in meekness and so forth, as we read here in the scriptures. And you had to ask yourself, why? Why would he do that? And so we realize that God is infinite. These are terminology that Brother Branham brought to us. God did through his ministry. God is infinite, and so God can't make a better decision. His first decision is correct to begin with. In Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham tells us, if a man was lost, and he, talking about God, if he saved a man upon the basis of any certain decision he made, he has to always forever stay with that decision. He cannot change it. See, he's infinite. We're finite. I can know more tomorrow than I know today. So can you know more next year than you know this year. You know more this year than you knew last year, but not God. God is perfect, infinite. Everything he does is perfect. He can't make a decision today and make a better one tomorrow. His first one is perfect. Therefore, you could just hang your soul on anything he says. It's the truth. In Feast of Trumpets, he said, we can make a decision, and next year we can think better. We got a better idea next year. But God can. He's infinite. His first decision is perfect. Nothing can move it.
Right.
Nothing can move his first decision. I can learn more. We're finite. I can learn more, and you can learn more. But God can't learn more. Wow. He can't. Why? Because he already knows. He already has it, right? It's hard for us to wrap our heads around, but remember, he's God. God can't learn more. He's perfect to begin with. And therefore, his first decision, rest your soul upon it, what the Bible says, that's it. Amen? We believe that. And so, you know, in eternity, there is no time. And it's hard to imagine and wrap your head around this, that with God, there is no time, and he's always had the right thought. He can't learn. He can't forget, right? And yet we can refer to it as his decision, right? Yeah. And so, but in eternity, there is no time, and things don't change in eternity. They're already perfect. They're already there. Things don't change there. And so if you remember in the Lord's Prayer that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven it's right.
Right?
Right? But in earth it has to go through these cycles here in earth. So God's decision, his decisions, I'll say that, they always were. They always were. He can't learn. He can't, it's always just, it's hard for us to imagine. But it's always been, in God, it's always been right. Perfect. The right decisions, the right thinking, the right will that he wants. It's always been correct. Here on earth, it's not that way, but that's why we pray, let his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let this thing down here and our lives and what goes on here, let it fold back right into his will and his perfect plan for us.
Right.
And so that what we, as I've said so many times recently, that which is in part can become perfect, right? We can give way to perfection. Let me ask you a question. Once it's all over and done with and everyone of God's redeemed are there in his kingdom and it's all finished and Satan's gone, done annihilated, and we're all sitting there, is there going to be anybody there that's not complete and perfect? So what we have here in time, nobody's going to leave here and go there unperfect. Everybody here is going to go right back into what he had in the first place in eternity.
Right.
So you realize that when we come from there, the fall was to fall from eternal things down into this time-limited thing. But when time is over with, it goes right back and takes the redeemed back into eternity.
Right.
Brother Bam said that everything that serves God's purpose has a resurrection. Right? Everything that serves a purpose, gives honor to him, has a resurrection. So we know that in eternity, God's coming. As I said, why did he choose to come in this way of humility? God's choosing to come in humility and meekness and so forth. It was always that way. That was in eternity. That's his nature. That's how he is.
And he
comes to those who receive him. You know, he's going to come to this world not in meekness. He's going to come as judge. But to those who will receive him today, those who will receive him, he comes with meekness. Said, take me, my yoke is easy, burden is light, right? And so, his decision has always been correct all along the way. God knew and knows that from the fall there would be a different nature than his that would come into humanity. One, as I said earlier, Satan self-exalted. You know, when Satan influences someone, he can't influence them anything different than what he is, right? You can't, as we've said so many times, you can't push somebody with a rope or a chain or whatever. You got to pull them, right? And so Satan can only influence you. He can't come along and influence you to believe the Word of God more. He can't come along and influence you to be more obedient to the Word of God. He can't influence you to receive the Holy Ghost. He can't do that. See, because his kingdom would be divided. He can only take you to where he is. And so if his nature was to exalt himself against God, then the only thing he can do is influence you to do the same.
Right.
Influence you to turn away from God's word and try and live something else to yourself instead of living for God. That's all he can. But remember, in God's realm, it's eternity. It's all correct. That's what's right. It's this down here that's fallen. It's not. So Satan can't inspire you to live in eternal things. He has nothing to do with it. He got cast from that realm.
Right.
But all he can do is convince you to live this lower. And that's why it's a fall. Because he fell from that eternal realm of the nature and life of God and fell from that realm down to something less.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, the Lord knew that that nature of Satan would come right into humanity when the fall is there, and it has. And so the whole world lives by this fallen nature of self-exaltation and go conquer and make, you know, as Brother Ram said, God made man, but man makes slaves. Everybody trying to figure out a way that I can get another dollar from somebody else by tricking them or overcoming them and putting them in a situation where they have to pay tribute or have to buy my product. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everything's a manipulation. We'll say, you can invest in this market and we'll make it look so good, but really behind the scene when you look at it, it's all got something coming to them. It's all like that. But when he came, no hidden agendas. When he came, it was all for you and nothing for him. All for you. See? So that's the two natures. And so he knew that in the fall, that's the way it would be. And the world would just live after that fallen nature. But God also knows that in his own family, in his own people, his own children, that there is a genetic that passes from him to them. So there's characteristics and natures in them that would pass to them. And even though they came through the fall, they're still his children. And even though they're in this world and in their flesh and their first birth, they're chasing after all this conquering and doing all that. God knows that down inside them is his nature. And it's just a matter of time until that nature becomes quickened and the other nature dies, and so he knew that lay there. And so he knew that his people would respond when he would come and express himself as king. He wouldn't do it as we say so many times, you know, whenever the seals was open and said, "Weep not, for the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." And when John turned to see, it wasn't a lion, it was a lamb. Because the way the Lord conquered was by being a lamb, by being a sacrifice, by giving himself, by not conquering through strength and power. And that's what the children of Israel, they all thought when the Messiah would come, he would just destroy all the Romans. And he didn't come that way because he wasn't prophesied to come that way. He was prophesied to come just what we read. Your king comes, and he's not coming in great chariots and great big pomp. He's coming lowly and meek and humble.
All right.
But he's your king.
All right.
That's how he's coming. Yeah. Right? Coming in the nature of eternity. Right? You know, when you are that, you don't have to act nothing. Because
right.
That's what you are.
Right.
But here's Satan along and got cast from that. And he's got to do and try to be all kinds of stuff that he's not.
Right.
But the Lord Jesus Christ has it. He's the one, he's got the goods, right? He's got that eternal character and nature about him. And so that's how he came. And in all this, it's God hiding himself in simplicity. Because the world is looking for great things. You know, even when John the Baptist came, they all had their ideas about what it would be and in their interpretation of scriptures. But when he came, look what he was. It's this fuzzy man out here on the banks of Jordan telling people to repent and baptizing them.
Right.
Right? So it's God hiding himself in simplicity. And to the world and to man, the gospel is foolish. The gospel is foolishness to man. The things of God are foolishness to man. But in that, God saves his people. Because
right.
The whole world is keyed on this nature of Lucifer. And so if Jesus would have come like all the rest of the kings, if he had come trying to conquer the armies and destroying the Rome, he'd be just like the rest. He would be expressing the nature that Satan did. But God maintains his credibility. by just being who he is. And so he came in humility. Amen. In our fallen flesh, we always want something bigger, something better, something smarter, something faster.
Right?
Right? It was Cain's children that began to work in science and begin to develop and begin to do things. That seed line of wisdom and so forth. But in Christ, that's not so. That godly seed line were humble people, sheep herders, whatever. And so in Christ Jesus, we don't need those things. We don't need bigger, better, faster, more power, and just conquer. We don't need that. Well, we just have a deep, settled peace in Christ Jesus. It's Isaiah 30, verse 15. Should bring that up. For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But ye would not. Amen? You would not. And, of course, we're in fall, fell away, and he's telling the people, return to me. As Brother Graham says, that God never meant for man to have to shift for himself, to have to go out there and provide for himself. God doesn't intend, but if we don't let God have our lives, then it's us then. And it's all this work and all this toil and all this sadness because we can't produce what only he can.
Right.
And so we have all these sorrows. And he's saying, look, just return to me. In returning and in rest, there's where you're going to find your strength. And you're not out there trying to do it. You're not out there trying to live for God. You're not trying to make things happen. You just return to him and just rest in him doing it all for you. Because he's the only one that could do it. It's not saying don't, but you let the Holy Spirit live in your life, obviously. But so many people's got this idea that they're going to please God in themselves, and you can't do it.
Right.
It won't happen. Right?
Right?
You have to just throw yourself at the mercy of God and rest in the fact that he paid that price for you and he'll take care of it.
Right.
Amen? That's all you can do. And so, he offered them an experience of quietness and peace and confidence and rest. But no, just can't have it. Why? Because that's that nature of Lucifer. I will do it. I'm gonna make my way. I'm gonna be in the future of my life. I'm gonna control it. Right? That's the nature of Lucifer. But the nature of God's people is to just enter into rest and say, my future belongs to him. I'm just gonna stay by his side. I'm gonna humbly serve him and let him take me where he wants me. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, we believe that. As I said a while ago, all Satan could do is just spread more of himself and cause people to be like him. And so, all the Lord had to do is just simply come in himself, come in his own nature. That's all he had to do. He knew in his people would be something to respond. And so, he just came. He didn't come in great, great things. He came in humility, knowing that that would make the difference. And when as I said, when you're the highest to begin with, we don't look at it that way. We don't look as greatness, humility being greatness.
Right?
Right? Jesus said, if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. But if you'll humble yourself, you'll be exalted.
Right.
So it's the opposite. It's foolish to man. But it's the ways of God to humble yourself.
Right.
And so, when humility is greatness, that's just the nature of God. That's all there is to it. And so, it's still the same today. We all want something bigger, better, faster, smarter. All these things that we're just going and just all that. And it's all off of the tree of knowledge. And all it does is create more headache and heartache. And the only place we find peace is in God. Right? in just letting all these things pass by. I don't need to be like the world. I don't want to be like the world. I don't need what they feel like they have to have, because I have something that gives me peace.
Right?
Right? I hope you can say the same thing. That Christ Jesus is what gives you peace. I've been down that road. I've tried. We sing that song, I've had it all, but what I need is more of Him.
Right.
And that's right. That's all we need is more of Him. And so, that's all off of the tree of knowledge. Bigger, faster, smarter, all that. But in the tree of life, there was no such thing. Amen. You've heard Brother Ram talk about it. You know, a minister of the gospel has the highest position, you know, higher than the president. You wouldn't think that, right? Well, the president, he's... No. Someone who preaches the gospel has a higher position in the economy of God than the president does. Think about that. Because it's His word. It's His program that makes the difference. Amen. And so... The fall of man, I said a while ago, the fall of man was, it was a fall in nature. Their nature. The angels, you know, got kicked out of heaven. Their nature, you know, and that's what it is, the fall of man, in the nature of man. But in heaven, they didn't fall. In eternity, it didn't change.
Right?
Right? In eternity, they didn't fall. The angels kept their estates. You know, they're talking about the angels who left not their first habitation, right? The ones that fell. But what about the ones who didn't fall? Right? In that realm, it's perfect. And that's what we're trying to align with. You know, when the prophet said, when you've heard that the word of God is eagle food, you've left this other stuff, you've heard from your theophany. You've heard from that representation in the heavenly realm, in eternity. You've heard. Now you're connected to that. Now you're beginning to act up on earth what that is, and this will bring you to that. Right?
Right.
And that's what it is. This time, walking here, will bring us into eternity, put us right back where God had us to begin with in the first place.
Right.
Amen. We believe that. Because heaven didn't fall. So try to get to this pivot point here of what I'm wanting to say. So, if all of man has fallen, and they all have this nature, and every king that comes along, he's just going to conquer, and he's going to be the great one, and they all have their ways of doing it in the fall of man. So, when God was going to say, now, I'm going to send you your king, right? Then how would the people know when that king was going to come? How would they know this is the real one? Because every king we see how they conquer, and they just, one army goes over and beats another one, take that land, take their people, and all that. And so how's the people of God going to know? Because the scripture tells us here, behold, your king cometh. Right? So how would they know that he's coming? And so the scriptures there said, tell the daughter of Zion, and Brother Branham shows us the daughters, that's the church. That's here, the bride, here at the end time. The church is the daughters of Zion. And so how are they going to know? And so this prophecy says, tell her. Tell the daughter of Zion. Tell her how he's going to come. He's not going to come on some great big mighty chariot with all this pomp and everything. He's not going to do like all the rest. He's not going to come that way. But he's going to come in humility.
Right?
Right? So tell her. That was the one. Tell the daughter of Zion, your king's coming. But he's not coming like the rest. He's going to come just on a little colt, a little foal of an ass. That's how your king... How are you going to know? He's going to come different than the rest.
Right.
He's not going to be like the rest of the world. He's going to come in humility. This is how the daughter of Zion will know when she sees the king coming. So tell her about it so she'll know. And fear not. You'll recognize. Don't worry. Don't fear that you might miss him. You're not going to miss him. Because he's the only one that's going to act like this.
Right.
The only one that's going to conquer like this. Because all the rest of them won't do that.
Right.
You go to any person, any president or king of any nation right now, if you went into their office and you sit down, listen, we got to conquer your neighbor. Not one of them is going to say, okay, I'm going to get down and I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to pray. That's not what they're going to do. They're going to say, okay, we've got to get some more military, more machines, and more weapons, right? Because that's man's nature. So he's saying, tell her so she'll know how to watch for him when he comes. And so tell her to not fear. Don't worry about it, fret over it, because you're going to know him when you see this. Amen? And so the scripture said also there in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly. When you see this, you can rejoice and you can begin to shout and you can begin to sing praises. When you see this one come and conquer this way, you know that's the one I'm sending. Follow me? You know that's the one I'm sending when he comes this way. Because that's the way God conquers. He will come. And he will be a conqueror to this world. And he will destroy. But I'm talking about how he would come to us in the day of visitation of the gospel. You go ahead and read there. I think it is in Luke there, which on past verse 40 down to 44. And he weeps there at Jerusalem because they did not know the day of visitation.
Right.
And even spoke that the armies of the Romans would compass the city about and they'd all be destroyed. Jesus spoke of it. Just go ahead and read it. Right? Because they didn't know the day of their visitation of the king that God sent in humility. They missed it because they're looking for something great.
Yeah.
Amen? Rejoice greatly when you see this one doing what no one else can do. Wait for him, watch for him, and watch for this to come to pass when he comes in humility and meekness, riding on the colt of foaled ass. So when the world looks at things, they look at the gospel, they look at Jesus. It doesn't look like anything anybody would want. As it says in Isaiah 53, verse 2, talking of Jesus coming, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't come in beauty. He didn't come in worldly strength. Right? And the world, they just, who's this guy? Right? Can do that the same thing today. They've always done that. Not those, these people, Christ is with them. Yeah, he is. Because the world looks at it for greatness. If the president of the United States said, well, you know what, I need to meet with God's people. He's not gonna be coming here. We're not big enough. We don't have enough glory.
Right.
He's gonna go to the great crystal cathedrals and all the great things like that. That you're going to get the leaders of those. That's who gets to come in and gets to go into their little prayer breakfast they have every so often or whatever. Yeah, you watch it. You watch what's, and it's all about pomp and, oh, you know, I'm glad to see you and you're so wonderful. And they just spent all this time up there talking about all one another and all that stuff. You see what I mean? Because that's them. We don't look for that stuff. We're not looking for high, pompy things. We're looking for humility. Right. For someone who can live the gospel. That can follow the truth of the word and stay with that. That's why. And the world will look at that and say, nonsense. I told you years ago, not to say anything about me, but when I left my job working at Calvert McBride Printing Company and went to Balmore, there was a lady there at the printing company that she was a Baptist woman, and she would come back at break time and sit with me and a friend of mine who would sit and have Bible studies. And she'd come back and she would just absent because, you know, she heard things that she didn't hear in her church. And she just, she rejoiced. She was just so excited. She went back to her church and she was just talking about these guys at work that, oh, man, it just... She must have been going on and on, I'm assuming. Well, she happened to have someone there in the church that heard her saying these things that happened to work at Balmore. And when he caught wind that I came to work there, the first day at lunchtime, he came to the lab where I work because he wanted to meet me. He wanted to find out, who's this guy that Connie, her name was Connie, was just so talking about, just all these, the things that this brother shares and so forth. And so he wanted to come, and so he came there and sat in lunch with the manager of the lab. And I was there my first day. I didn't know, you know, what to do just yet or whatever, so he was there. And I remember their conversation. They were talking about finding a pastor, and, oh, you got to really do a background check. Got to do a background check on your pastor, because we had one, and man, we hired him, and he come in, and he was a swindler, and he did this, and he did that, and they're just going on about, you know, the system, right? The big, here's how we find a good man of God, and they're like, oh, but boy, you gotta do a background check on this guy. And I'm just sitting there, you know, and all his credentials, and he's got a, you know, PhD, and have to have all these different credentials and all that, and boy, you gotta be careful. And I said, what about the man God calls? That's all I said. What about the man God calls? Well, he went back, because it came back to me through the grapevine from Connie. He went back to their church and said, there's nothing in that man. Nothing to it. Because I didn't come in pomp. I didn't come in a system. Just, you know, all the things like that. So that's what they look for. Right? They look for those things. But we don't look for that kind of thing. Amen. So the world looks at Jesus, looks at the gospel, and nothing they desire, because it's not featured in beauty. It's featured in character. It's not the glitter of Hollywood, but it's the glow of the warmth of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's the difference. So today, 2,000 years later, it's still the same. People in that day, as Brother Ram in the What's the Attraction on the Mountain, he talks about this. When Jesus come down through there riding on that animal, and religious leaders and people's going, who's this? What's this? And as Brother Ram said, they should have known. If they had read their Bible, if they would have studied the scriptures and didn't get caught up in a man's system, they would have known the king was to come this way. Right. But because they didn't, because they were wrapped up in the religious systems, they missed it when he came exactly the way he should. And it's the same today, because God still comes today, and he comes in humility. Right. Comes just like the word said he would, and they miss it. They should. These religious leaders should know, but they missed it because they're so wrapped up in their own thing that they missed the whole thing. It's too simple for them. Like I said earlier, God hiding himself in simplicity. It's too simple for them. Yeah. So I ask to bring it on up into our day and into our ranks. What are we looking for? We're inside the message. What are we looking for? We all like, oh, you know, what are you looking for? What you should be looking for is just God, just his confirming his word. People just living humbly before God, and God just in the presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of his people. But so much of the time, people are looking for great things.
Right.
And so, is the move of God so simple, just simply what God is bringing to pass, bringing his word to pass? Is it so simple and so humble that we even miss it? Amen? See, that's the reason why I say that is this message God sent, that's it. God did it. God doesn't need someone else to rise up to be some great one. Why do you just, great ones are just those that recognize this word, repeat and live this word. We don't need something else. There isn't something else for the Gentiles. It's all right here. It's all been manifested. And it takes a humility for us to stop and say, you know what? God did it. God resurrected Jesus Christ out of the history and made him alive in our day and brought to pass all these scriptures, just like in just a few hours of Jesus' time, all that was fulfilled, and after it's overdone, it's been fulfilled. It's been done. We're just beneficiaries of it. And that's the same thing today. People are still looking as he warned us. Don't look at what God's going to do or what he did do and miss what he's doing. Because what God is doing right now is exactly what I'm telling you. He has done these manifestations, and all he's looking for is a people who will believe it and ride upon that. Amen? That's all he's looking for. And so the message has it. But we all have to come to this place where we make these decisions, and we have to say no to this, our own desires, and say, I've tried that. I'm just going to believe this word. I'm just going to enter into rest and believe in what God has done it. By me believing in what he's done in our day, I'm in the rapture cycle. I don't have to do anything. Brother Ram, even in the seventh seal, he said, just live peaceful. Don't try to put your own interpretation. Don't try and do anything. Just live. Like I said the other day when they came to Brother Bram, said, Brother Bram, we got the Holy Ghost, so now should we seek gifts, seek tongues? And he said, no. If God's got something for you, he'll give it to you. He'll do it.
Right?
Right? And so you don't have to seek something. Just get in sync with it. Like the story he tells about the man who was dying, and had the dream. He was in Africa and had a fever, and he had a dream, and he was a logger, and he was trying to cut down a tree and trying to move it for his boss, and he couldn't move it. And he turned and looked, and it was Jesus speaking to him, and it was his boss, and he said, there was a river there, and he said, why are you working so hard? Just roll that log into the river and ride it. And he rolls the thing into the river, and he jumps on it, and now he's sitting there, he's not working, he's not struggling, he's just letting that log float downstream. He said, I'm riding on it, I'm riding. Why? He was taking him to where he needed to go.
Right.
Not by labor, but by rest. Letting it move him instead of him trying to move it.
Right.
And this is what happens. So many people try to make the message move when the message can move itself. The message can move us. All we have to do is just get on top of it and let it take us and rest in what he's provided.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. But no, we don't have rest. We've got to do something. We've got to say something. And many times it's like, oh, I got to have recognition in this, or I got to have something. No, it's all him.
Right.
It's all Christ Jesus, all the word. Get on board of that. Don't try to move it. Don't try to make God bring something to pass that he can very well bring to pass himself. Just get in sync and ride. And when it comes time for him to move you, he'll move you.
Right?
That's all. That's all. But just make sure. Make sure that you've got on board and that you're riding it. Make sure you're really there and you're really trusting in him and you're really waiting on him and you walk close to him. And you can't walk close to him and close to the world at the same time.
Right?
Right? And so, you know, you just get on board with it. Let him take you. And so, people, just seems like people just can't rest. They just have to come, and here's the thing, you just have to come out of, to get outside and go out there and mow the lawn or whatever, you have to come out of rest to go do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To stop believing God will take care of you and move you because you're his child, to get off out there and start trying to do something yourself, you have to leave the rest and peace and quietness in the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen. And so, isn't the word enough? Isn't what God has done in his word today? Everything that God has told us that we are. I mean, look at everything he's told us in this day. You're the sinless, spotless, virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not gonna be, hope to be, you are. You were in the mind of God. You're just as eternal as he was, as he is. Right? You've always been. You always have. You just found out about it. I mean, look at everything he's told us. Isn't that enough? Isn't this word enough? What are we looking for something? Oh, I got to have something greater. You mean he didn't give us? You mean he doesn't know how to run his own program and give to us what we need in this hour? You mean he's missed it? He didn't really give it to us? He didn't really fulfill it when this prophet spoke and then he took him off the scene the way he did? You mean God failed? Or it's here? You see what I'm saying? It's here. Right now. We just have to get in sync with it. Believe it. Stop doubting his word.
Right?
This is the day that he tells us, you know, that the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. Believe it.
Right. Yeah.
You stand before Goliath today just like every other believer did. And every Goliath falls in the presence of a child of God who believes God.
Right.
Might take some years. Might take some time. That's up to God. But believe it. Because the word is sufficient. It's all here. But people's like, oh, you know what I'm talking about. Not just, oh, we got to do something. We got to have this, got to do that, or something else. No, you don't. You just believe the word of God and let it take you the way where he wants it to take you. Amen. People just can't seem to be content. But everything that it's told us, isn't that enough? Amen?
Amen.
Brother Bram told us, I think I sent this out the other day, a quote, I'd run across it. He said that if you've got God in you, you know, God's eternal. And he split himself up on the day of Pentecost, and he comes out and he puts a little lick of fire in all of us. And that lick of fire that you've got, is it limited or is it eternal? It's infinite. And so Brother Bram said, this was a question, said, if you got God in you, then you've got enough power, you've got enough there that you can speak a world into it and go live on it.
Right.
I forget the exact quote. Right? But he said, but it's controlled by a law of faith. You have within you, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have within you the being that could create an entire universe. But you can't do it because it's controlled by the law of faith. That if that faith ever clicked and permitted, then you could create a universe.
Right?
Right? And so you've got that life in you, but it's throttled back. Follow me? It's throttled back. But it's there. You've got it. Right? If you got God, you've got eternal life in you, and it's there, and it's just being thrown. But when God gets ready to unleash it for anything in your life, he can do it. Right? And so ultimately, come down, when he's ready to release a body change, he knows how to do it. You've got it. It's there. Same voice that got your attention in the first place is the voice of resurrection.
Right.
See, it's all, but quit doubting that it's with you. Just walk with him. Walk with him every day as close as you can. Always present yourself so that if he wanted to, quicken your faith. Drop that revelation in there so that you could speak about your children or your whatever it is that you need. Walk with him. And don't fret when you lay down at night and he didn't quicken your faith that day for whatever it is. Just keep believing.
Right.
Because God is not, that nobody falls through his cracks. If he didn't quicken your faith to believe for your Goliath to be slain today, then believe it for tomorrow. And if he does it tomorrow, believe it for the next time. Do like Abraham, our father. Believe for 25 years. Believe, believe, believe. But stop doubting this message. Stop doubting that God has done what he's done. You are that virtuous, spotless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You never did it in the first place. Take it up with him, right? He's the one that spoke these things, and it's in his word. Man. So, people just, we should just live close, simple, humble lives of service to one another, believing God every day for him to do what he said he would do. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us, the last part of Revelation, don't add to or take away. Because if you add to, you know, God will add the plagues that are listed in the book upon you, and if you take it away, then he'll take your name out of the book, right? Believers, he warned us. Now here is at the end, and the book of Revelation is the bride's book. And this is the hour when all that's unfolded. We're talking about the hour when the bride comes into complete revelation. She becomes so much like him that she is him. But in that mode, there's humility. She's under her messenger, the final voice for the final age. And so here at the end of the book of Revelation, this is the hour that we come. It's the greatest test of all to not do what Lucifer did. It's the greatest test of all. That's what Brother Branham was saying there, the God of this evil age. And why would God call his people in the midst of this time, or is it called the God of the evil age? And it's to test her and to show that she's not like Eve. So here we are, and he warns us right here, the last thing, closing out of the book of Revelation, don't add to it and don't take away from it, because you don't need to. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. And so the bride comes to that revelation, to understand that word is right. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to take away from it. We just have to be a voice exactly saying what it is. Amen?
Amen.
And so, as a minister, we can't add to or take away. We can't tell you something greater or pull back something that's there that say it's not there. Amen. We live, as Brother Brim said, in a golden age. This is our golden age.
Right.
So, back to the scriptures. How are you going to know when your king comes? How are we going to know when he shows up in our day? How are we going to know when there's a movement that we can rejoice in, and we can rest in, and we can fear not in? When we see God come in humility and do exactly what he said he would do in our day, and he's done it, and you can rest in that, just like it was then. And we've seen him do it. We've seen God through that prophet in this day. We've seen him fulfill these things and live out look at all the types and the shadows infallibly that was working in Brother Branham's life to show that it was Christ, and yet he himself was just as humble as anybody you could think of. And yet God did great things that the whole world has to testify that those things happened, and yet it was so humble. So how would we know that it's of God? Because it would come the way he said it would come, and it would come in humility and meekness and quietness, and you understand? And we've seen it. So we can rejoice. We can rejoice to know that we're looking at and we're feeding upon the very coming of the Lord that he said, and the way he would come in this hour, we have it. Amen? We have something to be happy about, to rejoice in. And no longer fear. You'll fear when you start to draw back from it and start wanting to think there has to be something else. But when you know that he has fulfilled every type and every shadow, it's all been laid out there supernaturally and put it on tape where we can know that it happened and have magazines and articles and testimonies. And only in the day-to-day that all the world can testify and everybody else in the world can hear it and know that it happened. Couldn't happen in some other way. Here we are today when all this has fell right into our lap, and God just, all he's saying, just believe it. Just jump on it and let it carry you in the cycle to a rapture. Just let that consume your life. Let it be all that your whole life is about, is to believe this. Amen. Someone asked me the other day how we came to know God, what caused us to believe in God. I said, have you ever met the President of the United States? And they said, no. I said, well, you've heard about him, right? Yeah, we've heard about the president. We've heard people say all kinds of things, right? But we never met him, right? Well, when I didn't say this, but if you've never met the president, you've heard people talk about it, but I've never met him, so he doesn't exist. Really? No, he does exist. President exists. Just because I hadn't, and so I was telling this individual, said, I didn't know. There was a time when I'd heard people talk about God, but there came a day when I met him. I met him. Right?
Right.
That's the difference. You know, as you've heard, if you got an apple, hey, is this apple sweet or sour? I don't know. I haven't taken a bite out of it. Well, take a bite out of it and see, right? Take, come and taste of the Lord and see whether or not he's good, right? He is good. But but you've got to take that yourself.
Right.
You've got to. Amen. So we can rejoice because as Jesus came in that day, he came different, and that was the marker for them to watch for. Rejoice, daughters of Zion, because your king's going to come, but he's not coming like the rest. He's going to come in humility, but if you'll check it real close, he's coming exactly the way the scripture said.
Right.
And I tell you the same thing today. God has come in this day in humility, doing exactly what he said. Amen? And how is it that we know? Brother Branham did not come with turnaround collars. He did not come with backing of all the denominations in the world out there that were part of the heart of the system. He didn't come that way. You know that. He didn't even come with a big television ministry. He could have had it. Could you imagine what he could have done with that gift? When they brought him $1,500,000 check and he said, I don't even want it. Turn it away from me. What if he would have taken that? It would have totally taken away the vindication of what God was doing in his life if he'd have took that money. Right. If he'd have had a big television campaign where everybody could watch it, it would have totally taken away from what I'm showing you right now. The most powerful, as Brother Graham said, Christ has had more success in Brother Branham's ministry than he had in his own. And Brother Graham said, remember what I said now, He's had more sick, because Brother Ben wasn't doing these things. Christ was. Right. A man can't do those things.
Man.
But here's the point I'm showing you there is, he didn't come like that. If he'd have had those television, if he'd have had all the pomp, it wouldn't have been what I'm talking about, and it wouldn't have been fulfillment.
Right.
But because it's the earmarks are there. God, it was God. This is how your king has come today. In humility. Amen?
Amen.
So, daughter of Zion, you can rejoice. You don't have to look for another one to come. This is it.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the man. I'm talking about the Word, Christ, the living Word that came. And Brother Branham introduced, as a marriage officer, introduced the living Word to this bride church today. And Brother Branham left the scene, and the living Word is still right here in a married union with the bride of Christ. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Amen. We don't have to look for something else to come. I'm not saying God's not going to heal or do that. I'm saying this message will produce a body change. We don't need anything else. It's right there. You just got to jump on board with it. Ride with it. Let this be your focus.
Right.
And it'll change your body someday. Amen. And so I think we should be satisfied. Satisfied with this word that God has given. Satisfied enough that we can enter into rest and believe for all these things. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. Let's let the musicians come. I've thought so many times, where would we be if God had not come and done the things that he's done in our day?
Right.
And you know what? There's a proper response. There is a proper response that we should give to what God has done in this day. Namely, to surrender our lives to it. That's the only way that we'll get there. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, we want to just tell you that we love you this morning. Lord, as I stand here this morning sharing these things, knowing, Lord, just as a mere man, that's all I can do is in my strength just yield to you and ask God, Lord, that through the gift that you've given and pulling of the people upon that word that you would speak. And so, Lord, I have delivered this morning what was on my heart. And I pray, God, that you would just quicken these things. Lord, as it has been sown, you are the Lord of the harvest, that you will take these words that have been put into the hearts of your people this morning, and you'd multiply them and grow into a full fruit, Lord, in their lives. To help us to have confidence and know that there is a cycle, Lord, that you brought to us, and we just want to be in cycle with that. That we can rejoice as a daughter of Zion to know that you fulfilled your word to this day. And as your prophet said, the only thing left now is to be our body change, just for you to come take us, because you have fulfilled so much. So we love you, Lord, and commit this time in your hands, these people in your hands. And as always, we ask it in your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Prayer, we just certainly would be happy to do that for you this morning. Otherwise, let us sing a song again and let you be dismissed. May the Lord bless you.